as I just mentioned, the Vatican's Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith has issued a declaration on the theme of human dignity, dignitas infinita, infinite dignity. It looks at the question of human dignity in all of its forms, establishes many of the biblical and theological foundations for it, but then also notes very significantly all of the grave violations of human dignity that we have in the modern world. And if you look at the list that is enumerated in this document, there are many. We have gender theory, we have sex change operations, we have surrogacy, we have euthanasia, we have abortion, poverty, human trafficking, and war, and we can also add digital violence. So what does all of this mean, and where does this stand in relationship to Fiducia Supplicans, the decree that came out just a few months ago by pretty much the same author? That's Victor Manuel Fernandez, the Cardinal Prefect for the Dicastery. To talk about this and a number of other breaking news stories, I'm joined by Shannon Mullen, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register. And Shannon, anytime I fill in for Al, I'm always so happy that you're willing to come in to studio to join me.
I'm honored you feel that way. Happy to be here.
So this new decree, I just mentioned that it comes on the heels of Fiducia Supplicans. I think it's safe to say that Fiducia is a much more controversial document than this one.
Yes. In fact, Cardinal Fernandez hinted that those who were upset or displeased by Fiducia would be pleased with this new document on life issues. And he was true to his word, I
yes.
think. It's a very strong... It's maybe surprising how unsurprising it is in a way. So it's really a restatement of longstanding Catholic positions on those issues that you mentioned. Its real value is tying them together, connecting all these issues. You know, so many times it seems like, oh, the Catholic Church is against this and they're against that, and
right.
they're, you know, constantly being countercultural, as it were. Why is that? Well, here's the answer in a nice 20-page concise summary of those positions, which is it's all rooted, they're all tied to the Church's recognition of the sacredness of human dignity, this inalienable, God-given human dignity. And that's the common link through all these things, you know, from abortion to war to sex change surgery, you know, so... That's very valuable.
Yeah, in that sense, too, especially this is a very welcome document. I suppose it's certain quarters in the Church among critics, certainly of Cardinal Fernandez, did they breathe a sigh of relief, or what has been their reaction to this?
Well, it was there was some agita. That proved unfounded, right?
Yes.
So this is by all accounts a very solid document. We have a story up today by Jonathan Liddle talking to, you know, the experts in these various fields, and I think universally it was praised as a solid document, and it does come at an important time. So
right.
You know, for the Church, it comes on the, I guess we're, what, 6 months out from the next and final part of the Synod on Synodality, where they're wrestling with there's some overlap mm-hmm. here on some of those issues. But just look at the news. I mean, gender ideology, assisted suicide, you name it.
Surrogacy.
Surrogacy, yeah. Very much in
abortion
the news.
Abortion is certainly in the news, and we're going to get to that in a couple of
yeah.
minutes.
So it's very timely and helpful in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So I do hope people read it. It's very readable.
Now, one question that has been asked is, as the document itself says, this has been essentially 5 or 6 years in the making. And we can go all the way back to 2018 when apparently the U.S. bishops had a document that they were thinking of putting out, and the Vatican said, well, just hold off until we complete ours. Now, as we all know, the very famous saying goes that the wheels of Rome grind very slowly but very fine. In this case, very slowly, 5 years. Is there any understanding as to why it took this long?
No, but it's a question that we're asking at the Register. I think there's two parts to that. One is the what was going on for the, I don't know, five or so, five plus years.
Right.
immediately at from 2018 to 2023, right?
Yes.
That's one question. The other question is, what's been happening since Cardinal Fernandez arrived on the scene? So last summer, so and he has said that the Pope asked him to make refinements to whatever was the working document there.
Yeah.
So his mark, as you say, his mark is on this document.
Mm-hmm. Now, you wrote an article last fall. It was based on an interview that Pope Francis gave to an Argentinian outlet, in which he stressed the importance of the church to understand or deepen her understanding of human dignity. Can we say that this, in many ways, is the fruits of some of those reflections, certainly on the part of Pope Francis?
Yes, I think it's an important message to him, not just to declare the church's position on these sometimes difficult moral questions, right? But to propose something positive, which is, hey, we all have innate human dignity. You're valuable, inherently valuable. You're loved by God. I mean, that's the gospel message, right? So behind these things that we say are harmful to humans and human dignity, right, surrogacy, abortion, is that you have real worth and in God's eyes, and that's sacred, and
right,
needs to be safeguarded.
And this is no sudden shift in the perspective on the part of Pope Francis. He has certainly been very outspoken in the area of abortion, and one could argue even more outspoken in the area of gender ideology.
Yes, he has, and this document reflects that broader pro-life spectrum, that seamless garment is the phrase that. It doesn't begin and end with abortion and euthanasia, right? It's beyond that. If that's how we really feel about the human person, well, that there are all sorts of implications for that
right,
in these issues.
But there's no indication in this document of a reduction, so to speak, of the importance of abortion to the church in opposing it.
I don't think that was his intent. I think he was more interested not in minimizing it, but showing the connection, how it connects to these other issues.
Right. Yeah. Well, talking of abortion, there was breaking news just today out of Arizona.
Yes. So surprising. It wasn't on my radar, but the Arizona Supreme Court has essentially reinstated an 1864 ban on abortion in Arizona, which I think predates its creation as a state. So
I'm sure the constitutional experts in Arizona are going to be fascinated.
Yes,
by
the reference librarians in Arizona are working busily today, I think, to look up some of these things. So yes, you have to remember Roe v. Wade froze state abortion restrictions in 1973. It just kind of froze them in place. And a number of states, including Arizona, never got around to repealing mm-hmm. those old laws that were on their books. Whether they were enforced or not is a different matter, but they existed. So when Dobbs came along and basically unfroze the state's ability to regulate abortion, some of those, you know, became active again. So there was a question here in Arizona, and we'll get into that, why it's not just a legal matter, but it's really a political matter with the upcoming election,
right,
too.
Yeah. And talking about political matters, we had a rather important statement just coming out, I think, yesterday from former President Donald Trump, now obviously the presumptive GOP nominee.
Yes, he has been hinting about a major statement, a sort of his view on abortion. He has even said things like, "Oh, everybody's going to love it, and I'm going to come up with a way to basically end this war." You know, that's been raging for 50 plus years. I don't think this was it, by the way. I don't think this is his grand strategy. But he did
right.
come out. Notably, he did not really endorse the idea of a national 15-week or 15 or 16-week abortion ban. He didn't say what he would do if Congress presented him with that, if he's elected,
yes.
What he would do if he would sign it or not. But he's definitely not in favor of it. He really believes in the spirit of Dobbs that overturned Roe, that this should be handled at the state level, state ballot initiatives, state legislatures, that it's up to them to regulate abortion as they see fit.
Right. Well, all of this was happening yesterday on the day of an eclipse.
Yes, it was. It added a certain amount of drama to a Monday, the first day of the work week. So, yes, including for us here. We weren't here in D.C., we weren't in the path. And when I read that we were not in the path, I immediately lost interest in the eclipse.
All right.
And then
I'm with you, unfortunately, yes.
And then the night before, I saw a simulation of how much of the sun would be eclipsed, and I was quite surprised. It was, for us, it was pretty extensive. Yeah. So, I don't know, 7/8 or something like that.
Right.
So it was dramatic.
Well, while I have you, just a little bit of time we have left, we have to talk about Caitlin Clark.
I watched a lot of basketball these past 2 weeks, and I have to confess, I kind of missed the first 3 years of her collegiate career, but I'm glad I tuned in for the latter part of it. She's a wonderful player, just such an enjoyable player to watch. Her style of play, it's been compared to Steph Curry, and just how elegant she is. But she's, as you mentioned, she's a Catholic from a good Catholic family in Des Moines, Iowa, Catholic school graduate, and reportedly takes her faith very seriously. Yeah. That's so nice to hear.
It is. A welcome change of pace in professional sports.
Yep.
Shannon Mullen, thank you so much. The time always flies with you.
Thank you, Matthew.
Well, when we come back, I'm going to talk with Stephen White about how to build a healthy culture. This is Cresta in the Afternoon.